Non sposa il gomito. Continuing with Tazkiratul Khalil biography of Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So this Madrasa Diniyat, of which Hazrat was the head teacher, had now come under the control of the local government. Sayyid Chirag Shah, who belonged to the Shia sect, became Hazrat's officer. See, very important when you read the history. One is obviously we're taking the lessons from the life of Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Sahib. But your mind must be open. Right? Who was ruling India? Before? How all the Sayyid Chirag Shah, all these other names, all Muslim names. Who was ruling India? The Mughal. The Mughals were ruling India. Right? So in the early days, there was a lot of deen. Slowly, they started getting corrupted. They started getting corrupted, being bought off. The British came in. They left a lot of these people in their positions, but now employed by the British. And the Shia infiltration you will find throughout history. Somehow they found themselves in positions of office, ministerial positions. It didn't happen by mistake. They are planted there. They are planted there. Amongst the Sauds also there are many Shias. The Saud family, many Shias amongst them, who are in important positions in the administration of Saudi Arabia. Now we think sometimes, how come they are allowing musical concerts? How come they are allowing this? How come they are allowing that? Is the ruling party even proper Muslim? But only Allah knows. All these leaders of so-called Muslim countries, right? See, we have Islamic schools. You call it Islamic school. How much of Islam is in the school? It is easy to call something Islamic. So these countries, to you say, no, Islamic countries, Islam. Yeah, they are Muslim countries. Maybe majority of the people living in the country also, they're Muslim. But the hukumat, are they really Muslim? But only Allah knows. How much of infiltration has taken place? Who is in the positions? How many hypocrites are there? How many Shias are there? But this has been happening throughout history. So here also now, this person was a Shia person, and now he became Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Sahib's officer now. Right? So he considered himself to be learned with regards to religious matters. Hey, you don't have to go far to understand how these things work. You don't have to go far. You go to different towns in our own country. Right? Now you will find people are being born everywhere. Birth is taking place. A lot of times the person says, no, I must choose a Muslim doctor. Right? Must choose a Muslim doctor for the birth of my child. I must make sure I got the tahniq. Make sure somebody is on standby for the azan and the iqamah. So the person does that and makes sure I got the farmer for my akika. Right? So he did those things. How many times his wife had to be in a shameless position for the child to be born? fought. Just because the kafir told us that no, you have to go for checkup. She compromised her parda, she compromised her modesty, even if she had a female doctor. Even a female doctor, to expose your satr even to a woman, in actual fact, there's no zarurat. The kuffar told us it's a necessity. Otherwise, it's no necessity. There's no necessity at all. Right? Then, the birth itself, shameless. The child is born, you know, I got a top hospital medical aid, or I got the money and whatever. So immediately the child is born, you know, mom needs to rest. The darja is one high now, she became a mom. Now mom needs to rest. The baby is taken away. Baby is taken away. In whose hands? Hands of all disbelievers. Taken away, put into a, what they call, nursing ICU or whatever, for the baby's ICU. What's playing in that ICU? Music. Muslim people are shareholders of the hospital. Muslim doctors are working in the hospital. But you see, this secular education don't make you Islamic. Don't make you Islamic. It don't make you that my maqsad in life is to establish the deen of Allah. You'll get a doctor, very muttaqi, pious, everything. Sometimes he's in jamaat work, sometimes he's in khanqa work, whatever he's doing. He doesn't think that, you know what, this environment is wrong. This masoom ummati of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that's coming into this world here, we're giving him azan and iqamat for 2 minutes, and we're giving him shaitan's music for 24 hours, 48 hours. I don't know how I ended up there. I was telling you. So that is the birth. We as an ummat, what are we doing to put that thing right? Then you take the death. So many places, ignorant people are doing the ghusl and the kafan. And they hold on to that thing with such a tight fist, nobody must come in between there and do anything. And sometimes they're making so many mistakes. They're doing wrong things. And the people are ignorant. People are ignorant. The family people, they are ignorant most of the time. They go there. They don't know how to give ghusl. They don't know how to give kafan. The people who are doing it, they're also ignorant. So now, they just let those people do this over time. Alright, they make them feel part of it. Okay, you pour some water here, and put some soap there, and carry on. But sometimes what they're doing to is wrong too. If you go to try and put that right, then become a big fight. So if we just look in our own lives, forget looking at it now at countries and all that. So when this is happening in our own small, small things, then these people in big, big countries, same thing, just on a much bigger scale now. Much bigger scheme. So many times you hear it all that a person is in a burial society. I'm not only talking about Peter Manus, but I'm talking about around the country. So many times you experience it. Person is in a burial society. He's busy carrying the body to put in the hearse or take out from the hearse or at the cover, and his phone starts ringing. Music is playing on. Musical ringtone. At that time, malaika of rahmat to be there, Allah's mercy must descend, all that, we play the flute of shaitan. So from the time the child is born, is hearing the flute of shaitan, till the burial tree is still hearing the flute of shaitan. So we can't put right these little things, because most of the people in those positions, they don't have deen at heart. They want to do a job, either they want fame, or they just, you know, this is our thing, you know, whatever. But what is the right thing to do according to deen that we don't want to see? The person who's in the, helping the patients and all that, they are making their money, it's a job for them, they're carrying on. But how can we bring deen into this thing now? How can we bring deen into it? We're not thinking like that. So these governments of big countries, they too, they're not thinking how to bring deen. They too worried about the economy, they're worried about their standing in this council and that council and our, the money, economy and the, how strong the currency is and, you know, all those things. The magaj is all on that. Not about how much am I establishing Allah Ta'ala's deen over here. So he used to consider himself to be very, you know, learned. So whenever Hazrat used to go to him for any work, he would strike a conversation on religious matters. And he start making objections against the Ahlul Sunnah. So Hazrat used to answer his objections. When Hazrat realized that this has become his habit, every time he go there, he got some ishkals. So he sent a message to him through someone who knew him, informing him, our relationship is one of officer and subordinate. I will not give any concession to you on religious matters. You do your work, I'm doing my work. Don't expect me now to, because you're the officer, I must bow down to you with regards to religious matters. It would be better if you do not delve into these topics with me. But he paid no attention to this request. Hazrat eventually presented his letter of resignation to Mir Ibrahim Ali Miyasab, who was the chief minister. He gave his resignation. You see, that's how we're supposed to be. Not, I have to buy my milk and bread. No. The thing is not right. They're expecting me to compromise my principles. I rather walk. Allah Ta'ala will take care of me. But I can't stay here and my principles are being compromised here. I'm being asked to compromise the deen of Allah Ta'ala. No, that can't happen. Right? So he presented his resignation. When the latter asked him the reason, Hazrat clearly stated, this Chirag Shah Sahib is not desisting from religious meddling. He is meddling in religious affairs. He's supposed to be the officer of the school. He must do his work and finish. He mustn't meddle in religious affairs. I have to go to him for matters related to the madrasa. If I were to answer his objections, there is a possibility of worldly loss for me because he is my officer. If I remain silent, then it would entail deeni loss for me. And this is in conflict with my position. So I feel it appropriate to resign with honor and dignity. I rather resign and go away. The chief minister, now see Allah Ta'ala's help now, how it comes. Right? When we think, no, I have to buy the milk and bread, then we will remain in that predicament. But when you say, no, Allah is there for me, I don't have to subject myself to this, right? So the chief minister removed Hazrat from the subordination of Chiraksha. And he rejected Hazrat's resignation and he maintained him in his position. In this way, Hazrat was now at peace with his teaching. But you see, Chiraksha, he couldn't stop because now his nose got cut. So his enmity increased towards Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad and he tried to cause him harm. On the other hand, the sectarian meddling of Chiraksha caused Hazrat's sharp mind to be directed towards this subject and he began studying the Shia books in his free time. So the opposition coming from there, I have to be able to answer him. So I need to learn his works. Right? He then wrote a kitab, voluminous kitab, in refutation of the Shia. And he titled it Hidayatul Rashid. This book was published and printed, and Chirag Shah was utterly defeated. So this was an excellent reminder of Hazrat's contribution in this field. And it was a manifestation of Hazrat's young and vibrant spirit. However, this kitab has vanished. There's no copy of it available at present. You don't find this kitab. Maybe somebody got some copy somewhere. It's not on the bookshelves anymore. Another incident took place during this time. The director of Sarishta Education had a peer sahab who placed his murid's wife in his house. This case was presented in the court of the director because he was also the chief judge. The case was referred to Hazrat for investigation and to obtain a Shari'i ruling. The Pir Sahib felt that because the judge was his murid and he was also Hazrat's officer, he personally went together with a few intercessors to Hazrat, requesting him to take the Pir Sahib's authority and influence into consideration. However, Hazrat refused to even discuss the issue. And he said that he will have to express whatever conclusion he comes to after making the appropriate investigations because this is a Shari'i responsibility and it is haram to curry favor with anyone or take anybody's part. The Pir Sahib became extremely angry about this and he began inciting the judge by making numerous complaints to him. Before the commotion could be solved, another issue came to the front. While Hazrat was gone to his hometown during the Ramadan month, the book Barahin-e-Qati'ah reached here. This book served to ignite more fires. Enemies got the opportunity to speak out against Hazrat. Numerous ill thoughts against Hazrat began spreading among the masses and the elite. Eventually, objections were presented to the governor of Bawalpur and claims were made that Maulvi Khalil Ahmad wa na'uzu billah is a kafir. And he states in his book Barahin-e-Qati'a that Allah Ta'ala wa na'uzu billah is a liar. They convinced the governor that a debate should be held with Maulvi Khalil Ahmad sahab. So Hazrat was summoned during his holidays by the Bawalpur government to come for a debate. A registered letter was sent to him to come quickly to Bawalpur. Hazrat went to Gangoh to consult with Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. It was eventually decided that Maulana Mahmud al-Hasan Diobandi, Maulana Siddiq Ahmad Sahib Ambetwi, Maulana Abdul Haq Sahib Puri, Maulana Muhammad Murad Sahib and others would accompany him to Bawalpur. They would certainly take part in the debate and inshallah truth will prevail. Hazrat then departed with these personalities. When they reached Multan, which was on the way to Bawalpur, they met a few residents of Bawalpur who informed them that the Nawab of Bahawalpur is under the control of the governor. He is extremely angry and he is determined to get rid of these Indian Maulvis. On hearing this, they were naturally, you know, perturbed, but they eventually resolved that it is better to die as shuhada than to be labeled as people who fled from expressing the truth. So what's the worst going to happen? We go there, they'll kill us. That's the worst. So we rather die at death of shuhada. They said, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. They continued on their journey. Upon reaching Bahawalpur, they sent a message to the Nawab Sahib informing them of their arrival and full preparation for the debate. On the 6th of June 1889, corresponding with 6th Shawwal 1306 Hijri, a debate took place in the Nawab Sahib's cottage. First, a written debate took place, and then a verbal debate, which lasted for 4 days. The Nawab Sahib Sheikh Ghulam Farid Sahib was appointed as the judge. The details of the debate will take up the whole book on its own. So in this biography, we merely wish to display Hazrat's vibrant approach, on account of which he was given the title Sayyidul Munadirin, the chief of all debaters. The newspaper Nizamul Mulk Muradabad, dated 27 Dhul Hijjah 1306 Hijri, contains an article written by an equitable participant of the debate in response to an article written by Maulvi Ghulam Dastagir Usuri. The article was titled, Khalil Ahmad has said that Allah wa na'uzu billah is a liar, and gave the proof of breaking a promise. So instead of publishing the decision of the judge with the written and verbal statements of both parties, or providing the written and verbal proofs from the authoritative reference books, the gist of this entire article was, Maulvi Ismail Dehlavi, who is a well-known Wahhabi and leader of the Ghair Muqallids, also holds the same views. Maulvi Khalil Ahmad is his disciple, and is therefore a kafir and a Wahhabi. This article contained the signatures of students, pseudo-Maulvis, masjid imams, and lecturers, to give an impression to the masses that all the Maulvis of the state unanimously consider him, meaning Maulana Khalil Ahmad, to be a kafir or na'uz billah. From the following article, a person of sound understanding will be able to understand the points of contention of both sides. The discussion hovered around the following points. Khalfi wa'id, meaning breaking one's promise or going back on one's word. That was the first point. The second point was the mortality of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is human. The third point, the extent of knowledge of the angel of death and the extent of knowledge of shaitan. Number four, present day Mirad gatherings. Number five, present day Fatiha customs. Details in this regard are mentioned in Marahine Qatia. Maulana Siddiq Ahmed Sahib used to relate, when the questions for the written debate came to us, we distributed the questions amongst us. The issue about the extent of knowledge came to me. Each one had one question, now you research it and you give the answer. When we wrote our answers, and the ulama of the other side saw our answers, reliable people from the other side informed us that those ulama said, the answers are very strong and adequate. We will have to change the direction of the debate. Instead of accepting that, okay, but now we must try another tactic now. Instead of making it a written debate, we'll have to make it a verbal debate, because they will be overawed by the government presence and will not be able to speak. Moreover, they will only speak about the possibility of lying, because there is a possibility of winning this aspect, and it is also a good way of inciting the masses. You see, in a verbal debate, 9 out of 10 times, it is not the person's knowledge that triumphs. Right? It is a person's wit. In a written debate, you can put down all your, and then you present it. In a verbal debate, it's just about how the masses react. Whose way of speaking was more stronger. That's all that matters. So now they want to, must go for a verbal debate. So on Tuesday, 18 June, the members of the government and special dignitaries assembled in the same cottage. Ghulam Dastagir avoided direct participation by placing his burden on Sultan Mahmud. Maulana Khalil Ahmad Sahib spoke from the morning till 12 noon in that sweet voice of his, and he completely captivated all the dignitaries and the ministers. So the gist of what he said is it is quoted below. I don't know if you should read it today. And we'll read it tomorrow, inshallah. And you see from here what these ulama had to go through in their zamana to fight off batil. So we don't read our history and see how the ulama haq had to stand and fight off batil. So in today's zamana, when we see now some ulama haq taking a hard stance, we think now, why are they talking like this and why? But these things were done in the past also. These things were done in the past. When people started their batil, then the ulama haq had to stand up. Sometimes debates had to take place. In our country, debates are not taking place. Direct debates. But the people who are bringing about new things in the deen, wrong concepts, etc. So the ulama-e haq are speaking against it. From their own platforms, they are speaking against it. And the keyboard warriors, that's a different scenario. Now we're not talking about them.